Welcome to another pre-NFL draft edition of the Chicago Football Podcast. As we record, we are 16 days away from finding out who the next Chicago Bears are going to be, the 11th pick, when the Bears will be on the clock. I'm Kevin Fishbane, your host, joined by my executive producer, Dan Mott, associate producer, John Solly. We're going to talk a lot of draft stuff on this program. In just a minute or so, we'll be joined by Peter Schrager of FoxSports.com to talk draft, talk Bears with him. And at the end of the show, we're going to answer your questions. Ask for a little Bears draft mailbag. Answer some of your questions about the Bears and the draft. Thanks to everyone who's been listening to the program. Had a great podcast last week with Desmond Borges of You're the Worst. Mark Mariani the week before that. Remember, you can follow all of our Bears content on Twitter at Bears_Insider. Check out our stuff at ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow me at KFishbane. No Bears news in the last week, actually. The only things that are coming up are visits. When someone reports that someone is visiting the Bears, and everyone kind of goes crazy about it. I'll talk to Peter Schrager about the media aspect of that. Because for me, if I get information that somebody is visiting with the Bears or the Bears did a visit to that player's campus or whatnot, I'll let you know, with the caveat that sometimes doesn't mean a whole lot. Look, teams are allowed to have 30 players visit the facility. That doesn't include the local guys who are going to do a local pro day at the Bears facility, Hallis Hall. But if you do correlation causation, not always does it line up that a guy who had the most contact with the team is the one that they draft. But sometimes it's interesting. It tells you there's interest there, at least. You can kind of start with that. But other than some visits and tweets about that, that's kind of been the only news we've been getting when it comes to the Chicago Bears. Any other free agent additions at this point are going to be kind of bottom of the rung guys to try to make the roster. But right now, we are focused on the draft, and I'm pleased to be joined by Peter Schrager, senior national writer for FoxSports.com. You can also see him on Fox Sports 1. You can follow him on Twitter at pschrags, P-S-C-H-R-A-G-S. Peter, happy 16 more days until we can stop speculating and talk NFL draft.
Yeah, this is the best time of the year. This is when we like it. It's all speculation. No one's wrong at this point. Things might change in the next couple of weeks, but for now, anything you say is as good as what anyone else might be saying, so you might as well enjoy the moment.
And if I've learned from, well, page views, to be honest, people love speculation. They love mock drafts. I know you do some great mock drafts over there at FoxSports.com. What's your favorite part, though, from a media perspective of what we like to call the silly season? Is it the combine overreaction? Is it mock drafts? Is it overreaction to a guy visiting with a coach or having dinner with a coach? Hand size. What's your favorite part of all the over media publicizing of this part of the process?
Well, I've got favorite part that is honestly my favorite part is doing the mock drafts and seeing the feedback from guys around the league. I think you probably get some of the stuff as well where you got sorts of the different teams. And they'll text you and say that that's way off. And they'll say, hey, where'd you see that? How'd you know that? And you can't reveal your sources. But the part that I find the funniest, I think you nailed it, is player X is visiting with teams A, B, C, D, E, F, hashtag, tweet it out, get all these fans riled up. When in truth, any prospect that is worth his salt is going to at least meet with some representative of every team. I mean, it's very rare that a team selects a player that they haven't met either at the combine or at a pro day or a scout has reached out at some point. So someone in the league actually compared it to Tinder, which I'm not on. I'm a married man, but it's like just because a woman swipes right doesn't mean anything. It just means she's willing to meet with you. And I think when you see these tweets from a lot of the NFL reporters, like, you know, DeForest Buckner is meeting with the Jaguars today and the Cowboys tomorrow, and it gets 1,000 retweets, it makes no sense because truthfully, DeForest Buckner is going to meet with all the top 10 teams. If he doesn't meet with them physically, he's going to speak with someone.
Yeah, and last I checked, the Cowboys and Jaguars are not allowed to both draft DeForest Buckner. So
no, they can't.
They can't do
can't
that.
Can't have the same guy on the team. Nope.
I do love the Tinder comparison there. Not that I've ever frequented that, but that is a good one. And we were just talking about the visits because I think that you're right. It does. I mean, sometimes it tells you the team's interested, but a team should be interested at this point. And here we're kind of talking about the Bears, and I think people get really excited when they find out that the Bears have talked to a quarterback, because we know Jay Cutler's here. He's going to be the starting quarterback this year, but we also know Ryan Pace is going to draft a quarterback at some point. If Goff somehow dropped to 11 or Wentz, I think that'd be really fascinating. I've already heard Cutler haters say they want Paxton Lynch at 11. But the Bears, I would not be surprised at all if they took one of these middle-round quarterbacks. And it seems like this is a good group of those third, fourth-rounders. But how do you evaluate these guys who, unless they're Kirk Cousins or Russell Wilson, history tells you they're probably not going to have a high ceiling as a starting quarterback in the NFL?
No, and in a lot of cases, they're going to end up being backups until they finally get a shot. You know, it's interesting. Brett Hundley went in the fifth round last year, and you haven't heard Brett Hundley's name since he got drafted or since the pre-draft process. But I've got sources in Green Bay who say he was excellent last year and progressed and is really coming along. You might not ever hear Brett Hundley's name until he's a free agent, because Aaron Rodgers, barring an injury, isn't going anywhere. Same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo. And in a lot of cases, it was the same way for Brock Osweiler. But you know what? You ride out that contract, and when your time comes, you got to step up. So a guy like Cutler, he's going to be your starter next year. You know that going in. But if you can get a Cardale Jones, maybe in the third or fourth round, or a Dak Prescott, or even a Cody Kessler, it's worth taking a shot on in the third or fourth. And you mentioned it. Ryan Pace is going to take a quarterback at some point in this draft. And You don't know. If Cutler goes down, God forbid, knock on wood, all this thing, you might have to rely on a rookie. And you'd rather have a guy that you trust and you did the scouting process on than an undrafted guy that maybe you weren't so hot on, or you brought into camp and it's just another arm.
Peter, in your latest mock draft, you had Ronnie Stanley going to the Bears at 11. And I think a lot of Bears fans, especially a bunch of Notre Dame fans, as you know, out here in Chicago, will be pretty excited about that. But are you ignoring that Ryan Pace says a lot of nice things about seventh-round pick Charles Leno Jr.?
Hey, he played well last year, man. Look, and Bobby Massey's a good addition. I just think this team, you've got Cutler, you've got the investment in him. He was under duress all year long. Now, I know the defense had some moments last year where it was embarrassing, but I thought through free agency, the Bears really did address defense. And if you look at this draft, it's not very heavy up top with the offensive tackles after the first two guys, who are obviously Stanley and Tunsil. Then you've got Decker and Conklin out of the Big Ten. And then there's a huge gap. So to me, through the Bears, this is a very rich defensive tackle draft, a very rich defensive end draft. Those are the positions you're likely considering as the biggest needs, considering how the team played last year. But I still look at that offensive line and say you could probably use one more reliable franchise guy at left or right tackle. And in my eyes, if Ronnie Stanley somehow slips to 11, and the way I have it, he does, I think that's the pick. And I think you rush to get that envelope up to the commissioner.
And I think you could argue that if Stanley's their starting left tackle, you got Kyle Long there, you have Matt Slauson. I mean, that's a pretty good start to an offensive line, obviously. And you mentioned Bobby Massey, too. The defensive line, I think it's really fascinating because you brought up a great point. At 41 in the second round, the Bears are going to have some really good options at a defensive tackle. And I wrote about A'shaun Robinson yesterday. I know a lot of Bears, a lot of mock drafts have pegged him to the Bears at 11. You got his teammate Jerron Reed, but it's kind of that big drop off after DeForest Buckner when you're looking for that five technique. So I don't know if those guys are good enough at 11. Who are some of those guys maybe in the second round, if they do not take a defensive lineman in the first round, that would be starter caliber guys they could take at 41 in the D-line?
That's the thing. I've spoken to a lot of people around the NFL, and they say there's a very good talent pool, probably top 10, top 11. If Stanley goes 11, he's in that top pool. After that, you can draft a guy from 12 to 50, and no one would shake their head because it's all over the board. So you're looking at guys like Chris Jones, a big defensive tackle out of Mississippi State. He's the one whose pants fell off at the combine. Everyone made jokes, but he's pretty disruptive up front. You've got a guy, Andrew Billings, out of Baylor. He might slip out of the first round. Who knows, depending on need. Kevin Dodd, the kid out of Clemson, could go anywhere from 7 overall to the Niners to the second round. Everyone's all over the board with that kid. So there are a lot of names that are out there. And, you know, you're right. It's Buckner. It's Bosa. And then it's, you know, Shaq Lawson. And then after that, it's kind of wide open. as to who you want and what you're looking for. So A'shaun Robinson and Jerron Reed, I would assume they go 10 to 20, but they might slip. I doubt they make it to 41, but those are guys to keep an eye on. I mentioned a few others. And then you've got, you know, the kid Adolphus Washington at Ohio State can play. Michigan State has a kid, Shaq Calhoun, people like. I mean, these are the names you can get who are going to be able to play year one. And because it's such a deep draft for the defensive line, you might be able to get a guy who in other years might go in the top 20.
Is there a scenario when you look at your mock drafts that you could see DeForest Buckner actually fall into 11?
No, I don't. I think he could go 3 to San Diego. He can go 4 to the Dallas Cowboys, 5 to Jacksonville, and then I don't think there's any way that Baltimore Ravens would pass him. He's 6'7". He's like 310 pounds. He had 12 sacks last year on a bad Oregon defense. He's all over the field. He's a monster, and he's a good kid. He's a Hawaii kid. He was recruited by Chip Kelly way back when. I just don't think he's going to fall out of the top 10. If that were to happen, there might have to be some really, really extreme circumstances. And he's such a clean kid off the field that I doubt any red flags have come up on him.
That sound you heard, Peter, was every Bears fan turning off the podcast and crying.
Yeah. What's the big feel like out there at 11? Like, you know, you mentioned A'shaun Robinson and Jerron Reed. I know they're not doing ticker tape parades for them. You're not getting the quarterback. You're not getting Bosa. What do the fans want in Chicago? What's the main consensus as the guy? Because every team's fan base has a guy that they just get fixated on.
Well, I think Ronnie Stanley might be one of them. And the Notre Dame connection is probably strong with that, too, because you have a lot of Chicago people who watch the Irish. It's funny, I did a write-up on A'shaun Robinson yesterday, and I was kind of stunned at how many negative tweets I got from Bears fans that do not want any part of A'shaun Robinson. I think you also have Bears Nation is getting used to this 3-4 defense, where when you draft a guy to play 5 technique, there are only so many 5 techniques that are going to be absolute monsters in terms of putting up double-digit sacks. And sometimes you just need a guy who's going to be a great run stopper, and it's not going to get this city excited, but it's somebody that Vic Fangio needs. But I'll tell you the one guy that's gained a lot of Bears fans interested, and I really want your take on him, and that's Ezekiel Elliott, because it's a fascinating conundrum that Ryan Pace is going to face if Elliott's there at 11. When they threw all the money at C.J. Anderson, that kind of told you that they're still looking to maybe upgrade that position if the right guy's there. They have Stan Drayton, who coached Ezekiel Elliott at Ohio State when he was the running backs coach there. You lose Martellus Bennett and Matt Forte. They didn't get anybody to replace them. They're just kind of promoting guys from within. What is your take on the idea of what they could do if Elliott's there at 11?
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot, and I think he will be there at 11. I think if the Eagles pass on him at 8, I don't think Tampa is going to take a running back after they signed Doug Martin for all that money. The Giants really misfired on taking David Wilson a few years ago in the first round, and Jerry Reese needs to hit this first-round pick. I don't know if they take a running back. He might be sitting there, and that's a really intriguing one. Now, obviously, Jeremy Langford played well, but I don't know if he's one of those guys you build a franchise around. Now, Forte, I did the Buccaneers-Bears game. I guess it was either week 16 or 17 last year, and he came out with an injury, and I'm told that, you know, he's not coming in 100% with the Jets. So as upset everyone might be that he had to leave, he wasn't going to make that money in Chicago, and you got to understand and respect that. Ezekiel Elliott sitting there at 11, that's really intriguing, and I like it. I mean, I really like it.
I'm curious, too, with all your draft studies that you've done, do you have a favorite sleeper, kind of an under-the-radar guy that's kind of been your guy throughout this process?
Yeah, it's not a sleeper. I've always been a Connor Cook guy, and I've gotten clobbered for it online. I had him way back when I first started doing these mock drafts right after the Senior Bowl. I had him going 15 to the Rams, and you'd think I'd done something criminally wrong the way people reacted. There's so much hate for Connor Cook, but to me, Big Ten quarterback, he won 34 collegiate games. He's won 2 Big Ten title games. This guy, to me, has won games at the big stage and has gotten it done. He's healthy now. I don't think he's a top 15 pick anymore. I don't think he's probably a top 20 pick, but I wouldn't be shocked if Connor Cook is a first-round pick if one of these teams trades up to get him or trades back to get him at the back of the first round. So he's not a sleeper, but he's a guy that I've kind of been championing. And the more hate I get on Twitter for it, and the more negativity I get from the fans, the more positivity I get from NFL guys who are texting me saying, hey, you know what, we actually like him too. And some teams like him more than they like Paxton Lynch. Other teams say that he's very similar to Jared Goff. So again, not the sexiest pick. It's not a name that you've never heard of. I know that there are players from small schools that are getting a lot of heat right now, the William Jacksons of the world from Houston. But Connor Cook, to me, is a guy that I think will go in the first round. And when it's all said and done, people are going to say, oh, that's pretty interesting.
But, Peter, he wasn't voted captain.
I mean, it's so stupid. It's so stupid. It's crazy how what a life that took on. You know, people don't really – Jack Conklin wasn't a captain at Michigan State. What they did was – and I know this sounds like I'm making excuses. If you're the quarterback and you're a senior, you should be the captain, whatever, fine. But what they did was they named 12 captains and they rotated game to game who would be the captain each game. So the Big Ten championship game, Connor Cook was a captain. That whole thing was silly. But he's had to answer it. I mean, look, NFL teams are asking about it, and they're asking all his teammates. They all speak positively about him. I don't think anyone's spoken negatively about him, but – I don't think, you know, when you look at what that means, you know, they're voted captain. And again, I'm not trying to, Jay Cutler doesn't deal with much media. He's not someone that's going to be, you know, warm and chummy with me. I've done a couple production meetings with him though. And I think he's pretty great, like in those settings, and he's pretty respected by his teammates, but you might not say, you know, based on his body language and what you see on the field, that he's a quote unquote leader. So I wouldn't look into that stuff too much.
Yeah, I've been at some interesting press conferences at the Combine, and I know you have too. The Connor Cook one was like very weird because he was asked maybe three questions about his actual playing abilities, and everything else was about leadership, which is exactly what this season kind of turns into. But as you said, some of the teams are curious about it too. But that's a guy that's going to – I think everyone's curious to see where he goes and what happens at the bottom of that first round involving the quarterbacks. Just a few more questions here with Peter Schrager, FoxSports.com. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at PSchrags, P-S-C-R-C-H-R-A-G-S. Peter, stepping back from the draft a little bit, you're able to kind of see this league from a national perspective. You do some sideline work for Fox. What's the national view about what Ryan Pace and John Fox are doing here in Chicago?
Yeah, good. I mean, patience. This is a young team right now. They've got the quarterback. I think Cutler actually had a really good year, even though, you know, Adam Gase took a lot of or got a lot of the credit for it. I think Dabo Loganes will really evolve as the offensive coordinator. I think John Fox, that win in Green Bay on Thanksgiving was the one that showed that the team can rally around him. And, you know, Pace has brought in a lot of pieces quietly that this team can build around and made a lot of moves that were not necessarily going to be popular with the local media or with the local fan base, but will net out positive in the end. You know, I hate to just have rosy glasses on every team, especially in April when it's easy to do that. But, you know, getting rid of guys like Forte, Brandon Marshall, you know, you could scratch your head and say, like, okay, but this is a team that's not going to Super Bowl necessarily next year. So you need to start rebuilding at some point, and to get anything for them is pretty good. I would say Kevin White is going to end up making or breaking last year's draft for them. And a lot of people are going to judge Ryan Pace and John Fox on how Kevin White kind of develops, because none of those wide receivers really last year, minus Amari Cooper and Stephon Diggs, had big years. I mean, you add White and you look at the kid out of Baltimore, Perryman, there's a bunch of guys who just never really developed out of that first round. But they say White looks healthy now, and that's like having an extra bonus of a top first-round pick. And, you know, from all accounts, if Kevin White was in the draft this year, he'd be the top wide receiver taken. So you have that, and I think you've got a pretty good future. And I felt like meeting with that team, the Bears, a few times last year, pretty united group, pretty focused group, and it's a young team. So, you know, reason for optimism if I'm a Bears fan.
We'll wrap up, Peter, like we do with all of our guests here. We love to talk about Jay. You already mentioned him earlier. He's the most fascinating player, I think, on the Bears, one of the most interesting guys I've ever covered. Do you ever wish that you got to cover Jay Cutler on a daily basis?
It's just interesting because I see it from a different – so I parachute in and do a game, and I get granted a one-on-three, you know, interview with the color guy and the play-by-play guy. So it's a totally different – viewpoint of it. So I don't see it day to day. I don't hear about it day to day. I come in and it's crazy. The day I did the game, you know, we did a game in Tampa on a Sunday. Saturday, I fly, you know, he flies in, gets off the plane, meets with us. He's nothing but gracious and, you know, seems like he wants to be there. And then he's like, guys, I got to run. Speaking at this diabetes function with a bunch of kids who have diabetes and, you know, never made headlines. Never. So it's like a different, you know, it's a different type of angle at him. Yeah, it rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And I know a lot of ex-teammates of his say he's not the friendliest and not the most, you know, one of the guys. But at the end of the day, he's got the best arm in football, if not one of them. And I think he's changed significantly in the last few years. He would tell you he hasn't. He's always been this guy, but he has. And I think he's an NFL franchise quarterback and is as good, if not as worthy of that money as the other guys making it. I just think he needs to put it all together and the team needs to rally behind him. And I think the Bears will be all right.
All right, well, Peter, as much as it was exciting to have you on this program, our number one goal as a podcast is to get Jay to agree to come on the podcast. And granted, I haven't asked him yet, but so now I...
Good luck.
Exactly. So if you see him, you know, for a game next year and we haven't had him on, just slide in a little good word for the Chicago Football Podcast. Just give him a little nudge, if you don't mind.
I would do this. I would send an email to the team's PR staff, say you'd really like them, and I'm sure within seconds they'd respond and say, when do you want to have them on? And that's how it works, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what Jay Cutler would look. There's plenty of GIFs of Jay Cutler that would accurately describe his exact reaction if he was asked to come on the podcast. All right, Peter Schrager, FoxSports.com. Also watch him on Fox Sports 1. Peter, are you going to be here, by the way, in Chicago for the draft?
I will, man. I would love to link up. I'll come on as a guest, whatever you need. I'll be there from Tuesday to Thursday, and then I'm doing the radio for Fox Sports Radio with Jay Glazer, and Joel Klatt will be on radio broadcast of it. So I'm excited. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, obviously.
All right, great. Well, we look forward to seeing you in the Windy City in Chicago. So thanks again for coming on the podcast, and enjoy the last 2 weeks before the draft.
Thanks for having me on, buddy.
All right, coming up next on the Chicago Football Podcast, we will recap our interview with Peter Schrager and then answer your Bears questions in our mailbag, that and more when we return. Welcome back here on the Chicago Football Podcast. Real fun interview there with Peter Schrager. He knows his stuff, well-connected guy, covers the draft really well, and obviously knows his Bears, too. John Sally, I thought he had an interesting take there on Ezekiel Elliott. We'll keep talking about it next week's show. We have another draft guest. We're going to talk about it again. The more and more I keep thinking about the way this draft is going to shake out, the more and more there is the possibility that Ezekiel Elliott is a Bear in 2 weeks.
The potential scenarios in front of the Bears are what fascinate me most about this NFL draft and all the mocks that I've seen so far. I just saw one just before we went on air of no QBs in the top 10.
Wow.
I mean, and there's a plausible path to that. If the Browns say, you know what, we're going to take Bosa, and the Niners say, you know what, we're going to stick with this Colin Kaepernick thing because we think he may be better than any of the projects, and let's be honest, these quarterbacks are projects in this draft. And so then you get to 11, and if you're the Bears and Carson Wentz is there,
yeah.
I mean, I know that, you know, J.C. Talon has Paxton Lynch, but what if Wentz is there?
Well, I think, too, even if a quarterback slips to 9, because the Rams are going to be one of those teams that are going to look to trade up. And I got a couple questions in the mailbag. We can kind of start this right now about trading. And there's the Jimmy Johnson trade value chart. So what this is the Bears pick at 11 is worth 1,250 points, okay? And then let's say they want to trade up to 9 with the Bucks. You know, the Bucks not going to draft a quarterback. That pick is worth 1,350 points. So the Bears would, you know, they could swap picks, and then you kind of go down the draft, and they would probably throw in one of their fourth-round picks would be the value. You can find this, by the way, Pro Football Reference has the draft chart, and they have those two fourth-round picks. So that's something you could see them doing if they want to trade up to 9, because I think that, you know, if Jared Goff is – this is going to send us down into a complete
I mean, all these scenarios absolutely could do that.
I mean, if Jared Goff is there, if Carson Wentz is there for not a big price, and again, we have to assume they're high on the Bears' board – then it makes so much sense. I don't think Jay would be thrilled about it, but it makes a lot of sense to take him when you consider what they've done on defense. All right, let's go to a couple questions here, and this is kind of along those lines. This is from Zane Berger. I'm going to call this the best question we got. I said I would announce the best question. So here's a question from Zane. It seems like at 11, the Bears are reaching for any prospect they've predicted to get outside of the top 10 prospects, Buckner, Stanley, Elliott, and Hargrave. So it is possible those four guys are all gone at 11. Is it possible that they'll trade down And is that at all likely? What kind of value can they get out of a trade for the 11th pick? So go back to that trade chart. I can absolutely see them trading down. If all those guys are gone, you know, they could get Nashawn Robinson probably at 14, 15. So if you look, let's say the Rams again. So let's say it comes to 11. The Rams want to trade up to the 11th pick. You know, there's a 200-point difference there. So they would swap picks. And then according to this draft value chart, the Rams would have to throw in a third-round pick, which would be, you know, so the Rams would have to swap picks and then throw in a third-rounder. So the Bears would then have the 15th pick where they could get any of these defensive linemen that are available and then get an extra third-rounder where they get one of these mid-round quarterbacks too. So I think that's an interesting scenario they're going to face.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Again, all these scenarios in front of the Bears on who's available and who's not. Trading with the – I mean, it sounds like the Rams do want to make a move. So I think a potential trade partner there is very interesting, and the Bears could add some really nice depth with another third-round pick.
All right, thank you, Zane, for that question. Joe Yeoman asks, how do fellow beat writers or team personnel in the NFC North view what the Bears are building? I think without talking to some of the NFC North guys, but getting that take from Peter Schrager, who covers it nationally, good music there, drop there, by the way, Dan Mott. People see the Bears as an ascending franchise. This is a team on the up and up. They need to keep getting younger. Everyone, I think, likes what they did in free agency. And if you look at the Vikings are one of those teams in the up and up. The Packers, I wouldn't say the Packers are necessarily getting better right now, but they're always going to be there. The Lions, though, you can make a good argument the Lions are taking a step back or two in the past two seasons. So looking at the division, the Bears are very much in position to go ahead and go after second place. I got another question here from Bernard Weldinger, who asks, there's consensus the Bears are improving under pace, and so are others. Are they gaining ground in Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota? I think they've passed Detroit if you look at the team on paper. And you could argue they're definitely gaining ground in Minnesota and Green Bay, because when you're that good and your draft picks are that low down, you're going to have your team's not going to improve the way the Bears can improve by adding somebody 11. And let's remember, John, as Peter mentioned, the Bears get an extra top 10 pick this year when Kevin White gets on the field. I mean, I know Bears fans don't like to look at it that way, but it's, you know, they have this player that no one's seen before, and that's just going to continue to make them better.
Yeah, and going back to earlier, what you said, the word I keep reading when I read national writers and regional writers about what the Bears have done is savvy, about what they've done this offseason. It's savvy. They've brought in a lot of ascending players, like you've talked about, and they've gotten a younger roster out of it.
Savvy is also what I put that on my dating profile, so girls know that I'm very savvy. Bill asks, in all capital letters, so let me try to put this in Bill voice.
Can you shout this?
Who will be the Bears' backup QB? Asks Bill. Well, Bill, thanks for your enthusiasm about the number two quarterback spot. As of now, it's David Fales. Get excited.
It's not going to end up being David Fales.
And that brings us to a question here from Jimmy Goodrow at JimFan34. Which of the non-first-round quarterbacks have the best ability to become a starting quarterback? And that's what the Bears have to figure out, because I was doing some research, John. You know what? I didn't have time to write this up in a story, so I'm going to tell you what my research. This is going to be an exclusive here for the podcast listeners, in terms of what I learned about quarterbacks that get drafted in the middle rounds. If I can, of course, find the document that I wrote this in, because I did a fair amount of research. But then our friend, friend of the program, Dan Weider at the Chicago Tribune, put it out much nicer than I could. But essentially, you go through every quarterback taken in the third, fourth, fifth round. All right, here we go. 41 quarterbacks were drafted rounds 3 through 7 in the last five, in 2010 to 2014. I did not include last year. 25 of those 41, so 61%, have never started a game. 16 have started at least one game. 17 of those 41 drafted from rounds 3 through 7 are currently not on a team. That's 41.5%. 10 of them are with a different team. 34%, so 14 are still with the original team. 3 of the 41 quarterbacks drafted in rounds 3 through 7 from 2010 to 2014 are slated to start next year. That's Russell Wilson, who is the ultimate anomaly, Kirk Cousins, and Tyrod Taylor, who had to wait his turn. And Peter mentioned guys like that, Cousins and Taylor, who wait their turn. I mean, look at some of these names. I mean, these are, you know, Tom Savage, Aaron Murray, Keith Wenning, Ryan Nassib. Now, again, Nassib's a guy who could turn out to be a good quarterback if he ever, you know, he's not going to play behind Eli Manning. Zach Dysart, who had a cup of coffee with the Bears, who's in here. Greg McElroy, who is now retired. The Bears had a couple in here if you went, you know, they had a Nathan Enderle, who's not on a team.
Oh, man.
Dan LeFever, not on a team. I mean, you look through some of these quarterbacks that are drafted mid-rounds, it's tough to find that guy. So to go back to the question, who will be the backup? Kevin Hogan is someone I like because of the knowledge of the game. And that's really what you need out of a backup, somebody who's a quick learner, who you can have confidence with, will step in right away and know what he's doing with the offense. I think that Jacoby Brissett from NC State is going to be maybe a fourth, fifth round guy. The athleticism's intriguing. Dak Prescott, though, that DUI, justifiably so, might have affected his draft stock negatively, but there's somebody with a heck of an arm, was a Heisman candidate early last season, very athletic guy, and you know that's somebody also for them to consider in those middle to late rounds. I mean, they can easily find somebody. John, some of you got any middle round guys that you like?
Hogan is definitely my guy, yeah. Just based on his savvy, and I like the way he manages the game. And you know, I think the way you look at this when you're drafting a quarterback in the mid rounds, you're either developing him to eventually take over, or you just want somebody capable. And when you're looking at this Bears team, if you're drafting a quarterback, you know, rounds 3 through 5, you don't really want him to see the field this year or next year because you've got Jay Cutler. So you're looking for a guy who can step in just in case. And I think if you're looking at it through that lens, Kevin Hogan's the guy.
Yeah, and I think Hogan would be one of those third, fourth round guys. And we'll have to keep an eye on when the run of quarterbacks will be. It's like the tight end run in your fantasy leagues. When that run happens. Oh, by the way, Bill asked on our other account who will be the Bears' backup quarterback. So he's very fascinated, of course, by who the Bears' backup quarterback will. Tom O'Malley wants to know our thoughts on Kevin Dodd at 5 technique because he doesn't believe, you know, A'shaun Robinson has enough pass rush to take at 11. I think that was a big concern from fans when I tweeted my prospect breakdown of A'shaun Robinson. And you know what? Frankly, I didn't see the pass rushing from Robinson. I saw a massive force who's strong at the point of attack, who's very good against the run. But I didn't see a guy that's going to, you know, use a swim move to get in the backfield, a DeForest Buckner type. Dodd played 4-3, Clemson, you know, Shaq Lawson, those two guys are kind of the interesting tweener guys. Can they be the pass rushers you need as a 5 technique? I don't know how sold I am. I haven't watched a ton of them yet. I expect my plans to get some Shaq Lawson, Kevin Dodd notes for you next week. But that's a problem with pass rush in this draft, John. There aren't those quick twitch guys outside of a Joey Bosa, DeForest Buckner. You take a chance on a Noah Spence that's going to wow you. And the Bears are kind of set at outside linebacker for now. I still think they need speed there, but this is not a great draft to find one of those guys who has I hate to use J.J. Watt as the example, but he is that 3-4 D lineman that racks up sacks. There's just not a guy anywhere close to that outside of Bosa and Buckner.
And I think we're talking about ceilings and floors here. I think A'shaun Robinson, out of that group you mentioned with Dodd and Lawson, he's got the highest floor, but he does not have the highest ceiling. And I think if you want to take a chance, then Lawson, Dodd, those guys could be studs. Robinson's going to be a really solid contributor for a long time, especially in stopping the run, which is still something you need to do in the NFL.
Yeah, the Bears certainly need help with that, and I think Akeem Hicks is going to help in that. A second year for Eddie Goldman is going to be huge for that, getting Dan Trevathan, Jarrell Freeman. And that brings us to our final question here. This is from, I can't read that Twitter, Hail No Heck is the Twitter handle. And he wants to know what position needs still need to be addressed. So I think we can rule out inside linebacker as a top need. I'm going to throw this one out there, John, for you, because he's the guy I'm going to be writing about at the end of the week. Vernon Hargreaves III in the cornerback position. I did a mock draft on Atlanta Radio 92.9 on Monday this week. And when it came to my pick, the tackles were off the board, Buckner was off the board, Elliott was actually off the board. So I had a choice between A'shaun Robinson, Shaq Lawson, and Vernon Hargreaves. And I think Hargreaves is a top 10 talent. And for him to fall to 11, I took him for the Bears. And this is kind of the argument Phil Emery made when he took Kyle Fuller a couple years ago, even though they had Tillman and Jennings. You're in your nickel 60 to 70% of the time. That third corner is going to be on the field a lot. Tracy Porter, wrong side of 30. Kyle Fuller, do we know if he's going to be a star at this level? And Hargrave's right there, it's a deep corner class. So like Peter Schrager was saying, you can find one later. But if he's there at 11, I think corner is a huge underrated need for this team.
And don't forget, Porter's still an injury risk. There's no guarantee you're going to get 16 games out of Tracy Porter. I agree, we don't know really what Fuller is in this defense, but so far we haven't seen anything that's really positive. And Hargrave is a stud. I saw him once in person last year, and it was at Mizzou, and I know Mizzou's offense was terribly pathetic for college football. But
M-I-Z-O-U.
But Hargrave just locked everything down, and he's an absolute stud. And I think that cornerback is a huge need for the Bears. And if you've got a guy like that available, you know, let's say – I'll throw it back to you. Let's say it's available at 11. Let's say it's Hargraves, Conklin, and Robinson.
I think Hargraves is the most talented guy of those three. Yeah. And you know what Hargraves has? Speed. And
it's
Ryan Pace has talked about speed. Mm-hmm. And keep an eye on ChicagoFootball.com. I think – when is my schedule? I've scheduled it right
today.
Up for
Your mock draft is due today,
Kevin. Mock draft is due today. I got that. But I think I have a Hargraves breakdown Thursday or Friday. I think that's a very interesting position. Other positions in the need, they need a running back. They need a tight end. We talked about backup quarterback. I think you need another offensive tackle. If it's not Stanley or Conklin at 11, at least somebody that can be a backup. And then you need a safety. And I think you need a defensive lineman.
Would you like to see Hargraves drafted and then Fuller moved to safety? Because so many people for a long time have been talking about how they think Fuller would make a better safety than he does a quarterback.
You got Hub Arkish here on the program. Right. Dan Mott channeling his inner Hub, who always talks about Kyle Fuller safety. You know, it's funny, too, because Kyle Fuller picked off Kirk Cousins last year on the far sideline from where I was sitting, and it was in zone. It looked kind of like to be a zone. He kind of baited Cousins into the pick, and it was the type of play a safety would make. And I think he has the abilities, and Vic Fangio did not rule it out. But position switches are harder than they might seem to us. So, but that is an interesting thing for them to consider. Because, look, even if Antoine Roll comes back and has a good year this year, he's not going to be on this team for more than two more seasons. So,
no guarantee he stays healthy either.
Exactly. You know, Adrian Amos had a nice first year, but is he going to be your long-term answer to the safety position? So there is some work for them to do in the secondary. And I think in terms of the position in which they need a starting player right now, it has to be defensive line. Because if you're starting with three defensive linemen, you have Akeem Hicks, you have Eddie Goldman, and then you have guys who are fine. You know, Mitch Unrein's solid. You know, Will Sutton played all right last year. I thought Ego Ferguson was nice before he got hurt. You have some options there, but none of those scream starter caliber. So I think that's kind of a big need. We got one more here. It's not a question. From at 10Bears123, can we get a bear head at the 50-yard line? The sea is getting very boring. Start a petition. Now, I assume he means like a painted...
Not an actual bear.
Bear head. That, you know, you bring your Kyle Long right on the field with the, you know, head
that's
of a bear
intimidating.
On a stake, slams it in the middle of the field. Yeah, that's... that is one of the more unique suggestions I have ever received from a Bears fan.
The Chicago Park District couldn't get the line straight last year.
No.
So I don't know if we want to trust him with any sort of high-concept art.
You know, and frankly, the way things are going in Chicago, by the time the Lucasfilm Museum comes in, you could have like a...
lightsabers.
Yeah, you could have some
bear with a lightsaber.
You know, a Darth Vader head there at the middle of the field. So that's an interesting one. This fan wants to start a petition. So, you know, I mean, there's some very worthy causes in Chicago. I find few more worthy than changing what the Bears say at midfield.
If we've got a listener out there who's got some Photoshop skills, I want John Fox with a lightsaber.
You know what you're going to end up getting.
Yeah,
you're going to get a crying Jordan.
Crying Jordan with a lightsaber.
With a Bears hat on, and that's going to be... Or some, you know, I can see it after a Bears loss, somebody goes on and puts a crying Jordan in the middle of the sea at midfield.
Oh, there's so much potential there.
Yeah, there really is. That's all our Bears questions, and that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Chicago Football Podcast. again, ChicagoFootball.com. We have breakdowns this week. A'shaun Robinson is posted. Ezekiel Elliott is up there. We also have our pre-draft Bears depth chart, which we didn't really get into this week. We can work on talk about that a little bit more next week. Vernon Hargreaves is coming at the end of the week. Shaq Lawson, Leonard Floyd, Kevin Dodd next week. By the way, I will have a 7-round Bears mock draft coming your way in about a week and a half. Follow all of our Bears content on Twitter at Bears_insider. Yes, Dan Mott.
We also have videos.
We also, yes. Pro Football Weekly's got some great prospect videos that our man Dan Mott has been producing. DeForest Buckner's posted, Carson Wentz as well. Check those out at ProFootballWeekly.com. Check out their podcast, Pro Football Weekly Podcast. Also, John Solly hosts our PFW Fantasy Podcast. Any plugs for that, John?
Yeah, we've got one coming up tomorrow with Mitch Block from Fantasy Labs. I'm really excited about it. He's an outstanding fantasy writer.
All right, so make sure you check out that podcast as well. Big thank yous, of course, to Dan and John for their help on the program. Peter Schrager was our guest this week, senior national NFL writer for FoxSports.com and Fox Sports 1. Great draft knowledge dropped by Peter Schrager. Thank you to those of you who asked Bears questions for our audio mailbag. We'll do those more and more as the year goes on. For everyone here at Shaw Media, Pro Football Weekly, Chicago Football, I'm Kevin Fishbane. More draft talk next week right here on the Chicago Football Podcast.